Hello and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show, and the thing I love most is Spurs, and that's why we're here to discuss all things Tottenham. So we wanted to introduce ourselves first. So my name's Noel and this is...
I'm Rodney.
And so the reason this podcast came about is that we are members of a group on Facebook called Spurs Fans DSI. And our DSI was a website for clubbers back in the day called don'tstayin.com. And then the group was formed off the back of that, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. There was a football tournament set up on the website. So everyone created groups for their teams that they supported. And from that, a little sort of Spurs community developed. It was running on DSI for a few years, actually, but everyone sort of stopped using the website, so we decided to move it over to Facebook.
And then, obviously, Facebook started 2007, and then since then... It's been a big group for us. I think there's about 160 or so members. People post pretty much every day, and some really, really good characters, one of whom we're going to hear from later on in the show, Brian. And it's really, really fun. We're like a little family, and last season quite a few of us had a season ticket for the first time, myself included, and then we had these little DSI meetups. And it was really, really good fun. And now it's a really, really great place to discuss, obviously, the thing that we do love most, which is Tottenham Hotspur. So that's what we're going to be doing the whole time. We're going to be discussing the game, discussing the club, all of the news, and using some of the group's issues throughout the week and discussion topics and sharing them with you. And obviously trying to get you guys involved as well as much as possible. And we have a Twitter handle, which is the Thing I Love Most show, or TTIM show. And we have a YouTube channel as well that this show is going to be broadcast on. So we've got loads going on, and we do obviously want you to get involved as much as possible with your comments and tweets. And yeah, get involved. Okay, so it's time to talk about last week's match and the 2-1 victory against Newcastle. We did do it from a pilot last week, and we did the predictions, and I did say 2-1, didn't I?
I'm not sure.
Unbelievable.
We're going to have to go back and check, I think.
So it was a good match. I watched it in Newquay because I was away at work there in a pub, in a random pub.
Very nice.
And I thought that we played quite well first half. We seemed to fade a little bit second half. Obviously fatigue, probably an issue with a lot of the World Cup players. Mm. And Newcastle played quite well. I think we definitely had the luck, but I think if we'd have taken our chances, it would have been finished a long time before that. What were your thoughts?
I mean, I think if I was a Newcastle fan, I would have been a bit gutted that they didn't get a point, because they had plenty of chances in that second half. But I thought we controlled the game in the first half. Dele Alli had a good game, getting in those dangerous goal-scoring positions that we, you know, we love about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually didn't think that our World Cup players were that tired. I mean, Vertonghen played well. I think Alli played quite well. I think it was only Kane, really, out of the...
He's still sort of... He seems to be moving. He seems to be still in the same fitness level as he was before.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of jaded. It's not lethargic. It's just. You know, he was certainly not the same player that he was, you know, 3-4 months ago. I mean, that's clear for all to see, and it's
I think his presence on the pitch though is vital for us.
Yeah. Obviously we don't have anyone else. You know, I mean, even if he plays like a donkey, that's all we got on the bench. So it doesn't matter. It's either basically leave Kane on with the presence and, you know, the football brain, but playing a little bit like a donkey, or bring on an actual donkey in Llorente.
Well, I mean, we have goals from midfield as well. Contrary to what people say, you know, that we're a one-man team. We get goals from Eriksen, Alli, Son when he comes on.
Yeah. Son is going to be a big miss.
Yeah,
he's going to the Asian Games, and it's going to be away for about a month. So we're definitely going to miss his contribution, I think, because we're going to need it. Moura, your thoughts on his performance? I thought it was a big chance for him, and for me, he didn't take it.
I think he needed to get into the game a bit more.
He
he didn't have as much impact as he did in the pre-season friendlies.
With that type of player, you almost need, I completely agree in terms of he needs to have more impact, but he needs to be involved more. I just found that, I thought he was quite weak on the ball. Yeah. There was a few times and it was passed into him, and he maybe thought he was going to have too much time on the ball or have more time than he thought. I don't think he's very strong on the ball.
I think it's going to take him a while to get used to Premier League, you know, the physicality of it all, the pace of it, you know, that's... You're not going to get that in pre-season.
But he has the attributes.
Yeah.
He's got the skill, he's got the pace. I just think he needs to bulk up a bit and just realise that the Premier League is, you're going to get hit, you're going to get tackled, and you're not going to have that time on the ball that you have in either the French leagues or, you know, the other leagues, because it's a very, very fast-paced league. That's the way it is. So, but no, like you said, he will get used to it. And he hasn't had hardly any game time. You know, coming on in the Cups and, you know, the last few minutes of a Champions League game is not going to give you that Premier League experience. So,
exactly.
I agree. And he looked like he did have a bit of a knock as well. I think he had a bit of a knock because he had something on his leg.
Oh yeah, he was ice, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Well, given the benefit of doubt.
What do you think about where he's being played? Because when we bought him, I actually thought he was a winger. I didn't realise he was going to be played as central.
Pretty much playing a number 10, wasn't he? Yeah. He was there sort of just, and then Kane was dropping deep and he was running on. Yeah, I thought he was going to be a right winger when he came on against Rochdale or Newport. He was playing pretty much then, and he was great. So interesting to see.
I think it'd be interesting to see if he could play on the wing with his pace.
I think he definitely could. So general performance, we think quite good. I thought, and who was your man of the match?
The person who actually won it actually was Ali.
Yeah, that was for you.
A close second was Lloris.
Okay.
I think he made some vital saves. One on Kennedy, which we mentioned earlier, and he made a save in the 6 yard box.
Oh, on Perez the scramble. On the right. Yeah, that was class.
Yeah.
For me, it was. Probably Vertonghen, just slightly ahead of Sanchez, and Dyer I thought was good as well. But it's good to have, you know, if we're discussing like five or six players who could have won one of the match, then that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
First game of the season, away from home, get the 3 points. You need a bit of luck, but every team needs a bit of luck.
If we can win not playing well, then we know we're going to get better as the season progresses. So I'm happy.
On the subject of the Newcastle game, we are going to throw over to one of our finest members, Mr. Brian Hurley, who is going to tell us what it was like going up there and what his thoughts were on the game. So, Brian, let's hear from you. Brian, how are we doing?
Evening, lads. How are you?
How are you doing, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
I'm good.
We thought we'd get you on, obviously, to introduce yourself to the viewers and the listeners, but also to just find out a bit about... just your views, general views, and then also a bit about the game on Saturday that you went to. You went up to Newcastle. So how was it? Tell us about it. How was your trip?
Good day. Good night as well. Newcastle, you know what I mean. So always one of the better away days of the season. Luckily, it was the first game as well because you get a bit of the weather, which is nice. Great evening out. It's a long old trip up. We went up in the car. It was... three of us, 4.5 hour drive. We left at 3:30 in the morning down here.
That's dedication.
Jesus.
half three. But you know what? At that time of the day, you fly up in the car, get there for breakfast at 8, and then straight out, early kickoff. Long day. Pay for it the following day. You know what I mean? let's say good trip up. No issues at all getting up there. It was good journey.
And away from the transport, what were your thoughts on the performance and the lineup? Were you happy with the lineup when you first saw it? Were you expecting Aurier and to play? What were your thoughts?
No real problems. No Toby in there for me. I thought maybe he might start after the World Cup, but no real surprises in there. It's nice to see. Lucas Moura get a start as well. I know he's had a busy pre-season and he's looked quite impressive. So it looks like the way Pochettino was developing in the squad last season is starting to pay off. He's looked good pre-season and he's got his chance now. So let's hope he can kick on from that and impress. I thought he was very good on the day. I don't know, Sissoko maybe again, question mark about him. I know everyone piles on him and criticises him, but The only negative for me was down that right hand side, him and Aurier did look a bit suspect. They lost the ball quite a fair bit down there. As for the game itself, we could have put them away, but in the same respect, they could have nicked an equaliser and couldn't have really complained about that if they did, you know. They had the crowd on their backs, you know, they were really pushing for it and had a good few chances. And
they had as many chances as us, didn't they, in the end, I think.
Yeah,
easily, yeah.
I think it was even, wasn't it, Rod?
I think it was about 15 shots each. I think we had more on target, but they obviously hit the post and the woodwork, didn't they? Which was fortunate.
So for me, it was man of the match. It wasn't a popular opinion. It wasn't even on the list, I don't think, on the telly. You'll be able to tell me. But I thought Lloris was a good shout for it.
As you know yourself,
that's when you're at the game, you see a different aspect of the game. Off the ball, he was absolutely sharp, lightning quick off his line, and saved a good few times in. So yeah, I thought he could have been with a shout for the man of the match.
That Kennedy chance, he did well, didn't he?
I think the keeper's only really going to get man of the match if he makes like over two or three notable saves. And I think he made one very good save. He was good for the Kennedy chance as well. But I think in order to get the man of the match, I think it has to be, you know, De Gea-like qualities, or, you know, one of those keepers that just gets peppered the whole game and he has a blinder. I thought for me, Vertonghen was class. Sanchez looked good, and I thought Dier. I thought they all performed quite well.
Harry looks still a bit tired from the World Cup. But,
yeah, definitely.
Again, see the donkey work he does off the ball, the amount of battling and holding up, and it looks like he's getting targeted much more now as well, you know, as soon as he gets the ball, he's getting lumps kicked out of him straight away. So he's doing a tough job up there, and he looks still very tired as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
His presence is important, isn't it?
We lose him if he'll knock, obviously, with a no signing. That's definitely an area where I thought we'd be broken in a window.
One of the subjects that's been brought up quite a bit after the Newcastle game was the formation that we played, in terms of we went for a back four as opposed to a back three or a back five, as whatever you like to call it, which meant that Toby was on the bench. Now, we don't know exactly what's going on with Toby. There was talk on the group earlier on this week that he was initially offered he initially asked for £180,000 a week, which was rejected. And then he was offered £130,000 a week, which he then rejected himself. And he then went back and said that he did want £130,000, and then the club said no. So this is an exclusive from the group. So we'll see about that.
Sounds like Levy's playing hardball.
Which he has form for. So we don't know exactly what's going on. The problem is, obviously, we don't know his real attitude if he did want to go. Because if he did want to go, you don't really want that sort of attitude within the club. It didn't look like from his demeanour, or he didn't look unhappy.
I think with Toby, he's always going to be a professional, isn't he? He's always going to give 100%. He's not the kind of person who's going to be destructive.
I mean, everyone is a professional, isn't it, as well? It's like, you know, you don't have... You have the whole Sanchez issues. You know, you get people that...
You get players going on strike, don't you? That's the thing.
But, I mean, that's... I don't think it's the case with him. I think it was just he wanted more money. It's his last big contract. Yeah. And they didn't think he was worthy of it, or they it was not within their structure to do it. So,
and that's understandable. He's a world class player.
Absolutely. You know, so. I mean, I would have paid him the money. Hundreds. What would you have paid him? £180,000 a week? Not from your own pocket, obviously. I mean, you know, I know you're flossing, but you know, would you think he's worth that money?
I think he should be one of the top earners. I don't know how much is Kane on at the moment?
I think about 200 now.
Right. Okay. It's a tough one. It is a tough one.
But then also you say £180,000 a week on a 4-year contract maybe, so he's 29.
Is he 29 now?
So, you know, are you still going to be paying him £180,000 a week at 33? You know, that's maybe where the issue lied, in terms of maybe they just wanted him a shorter contract. We don't know, and that's the kind of problem with these kind of issues, that we just don't know.
Speculation.
And so, you know, there's only so much we can say. But for me, in terms of formation, 3-5-2 or the back three is the best formation. I think we were the best. We had our best form in that formation when we had Rose and Walker. Admittedly, Trippier is not the same player as Walker in terms of he doesn't get behind defences as much as I would like.
Who's the third centre back at that time?
It would have been.
Was it Dyer?
Dyer mostly, no, but it was Dyer and. Well, Wanyama was playing, yeah, it was City dropped back, but it wasn't just him all the time, was it?
Put you in the spot there, haven't I?
It would have been mostly Dyer.
Because I was thinking, like, last season, we didn't play at three at the back very often at all.
Not as much. Well, Toby was injured for quite a lot of it, so yeah. That's sort of like, you know, that meant that it was quite difficult to do that because we didn't really have very much backup, and Dyer was more useful in midfield, and I think he is better in midfield. But
yeah, I don't think he's a centre back at all, really.
No.
Even though he came to the club.
He's quite mistake prone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think for me, Toby should be playing. I know that it does mean that you lose an attacking player to an extent, but I think the focus that it does give the wide players and the team as a whole on the width, I think is
yeah, as long
it's
as,
worthwhile.
As long as the wing backs are bombing forward,
they have to. That's so important. Because even when we played it last season, when we did play the back 5-3, they didn't as much.
No.
Rose does,
yeah.
But Trippier sometimes seems to be a little bit hesitant to do so. But then he does have a very good cross, so you know it's slightly different. But still, in terms of it's not just about him crossing from there; it's about him stretching the play, stretching the defenders, stretching the defence. So that creates space for Ali and Kane in the centre. That's why the formation, I think, works.
So you wouldn't go with Aurier then?
So Aurier, let's talk about Aurier because
I think he's
you call him Marmite. I think that's actually a compliment to him because that implies that half people love him and half people don't. For me,
it was more of a case of on Saturday he had half of what he did I thought was good.
No,
i.e. the cross for
nowhere near half of what he did.
So the cross, 5% the cross,
of
the cross,
what he did. Probably
the cross
2%,
for the goal. The cross for the goal
2%
was blinding.
2% of what he did was good.
He had two crosses to Ali which were brilliant.
His cross to Ali's goal was an amazing, amazing cross. The ball was running, it was incredible. Like honestly, it'll be one of the crosses of the season.
So,
However, apart from that cross, he was terrible.
If you go back,
he lost the ball so many times.
If you go back to the highlights, highlights
of Aurier, they were like nine seconds.
The highlights of the game, there was about another two or three occasions where he had good crosses.
As I was going to say,
there's that side of him where he's positive. And there's the other side of him, which is a bit like he's a bit of a rough diamond. His decision making can be really bad.
He dives in a lot.
Very rash. We've lost a couple of penalties. Sent off at West Ham.
Penalties against Juve. And yeah, he's.
But I think that's something that could be coached.
Do you think he's a better player than Kyle Walker-Peters?
Today, no. I think he can be. But I would have liked to have seen Kyle Walker-Peters get more playing time last season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and surely now is the perfect time because of the fact that Aurier is not up to it.
My concern was that, or it still is that Rose could still go before the end of this season.
Apparently, Schalke are not interested, or there's. But he could potentially still go.
Let's hope that he does stay.
But it would be nice if he does.
But if he does go, what I was going to say is that. I think Poch might put Walker-Peters on the left as the rotation.
He seems to suit left wing back more. I don't know why, but he does seem to play very well there. So I mean and it's good to have those options.
Definitely.
It's really good to have those options. Okay. The jury's out, Serge. Sort your life out.
I think one of the things that made people nervous on Saturday was that you had him and Sissoko on the same side. So they were
I completely agree. And that's why if you did play wing-backs, Sissoko wouldn't be in the team. And so you don't have that. And I'm not on the hating Sissoko bandwagon. I just don't think he brings enough to the team to be worthy of his place. He keeps it simple, he tackles, he's just not creative enough for me.
Yeah,
and
he's playing to his limitations, isn't he?
Yeah, Okay, so we've still got Brian here to bring us in on that topic. So we're talking about Toby, we're talking about formations. So what are your thoughts? Do you think we should be playing with a back three? And do you think that if we don't play with a back three, then Toby should be part of the back two, or back four, as it were?
First of all, glad he's staying for the time being. He's a massive, massive part of the squad, you know. But formation-wise, back three would be the way I'd go, generally. Preferably Trippier comes back, Rose on the left, though, is more of an attacking option. But yeah, definitely, even with a back two, I'd play Toby and Jan all day long. What about yourself? What do you think on that?
I think Sanchez is impressed. I think I would also play that exact back five, personally. I think it offers us more pace going forward, and I think it's definitely more attacking. We're going to talk about it shortly, but we're still discussing the Serge Aurier conundrum, as it is.
Mr. Marmite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it depends who we're playing, because if we're playing the back three, we lose an attacker.
We do.
So,
but then we're gaining two attackers almost.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
The main problem is that we've got options there, you know, and for me, it's our strongest area of the squad for the moment.
Yeah.
With Toby staying, Pochettino's got so many options there to chop and change, even dropping Dyer back in there. I don't like Dyer at centre back.
No, me neither.
I think he's better in front of them. Strong positions on the pitch there. Best for me at the moment. The squad needs strengthening in other areas more than the defence if it was going to be strengthened.
So it's time for one of our features of the show, which is our Player of the Week. This is where we basically discuss a player that's been a great player in the past, and this week's player is Jurgen Klinsmann. One of my favourite players of all time. Absolutely amazing for us. Signed for us in 1994 for £2 million from Monaco.
That's a bargain, isn't it?
Do you remember the photo with
Sugar?
Yeah, Anna Sugar.
Yeah.
He was amazing. Obviously, we knew him from the World Cup. We knew that he was class. I didn't think he would be as good as he was for us. I didn't know much about him. Obviously, there's not as much football. Well, there's not as much football on TV back in the day from other countries then. I didn't watch any of the French league, so I didn't know.
But for Germany, he was...
For Germany, he was always class. He was always class. And I went to the game, his debut up at Hillsborough, Sheffield Wednesday, when we won 4-3. And Ozzy Ardiles played the famous five, and he did the famous dive, scored an amazing header, and amazing class. And then 4 days later, we were playing Everton at home, and he scored the winner, an overhead kick, and we won 2-1. And that pretty much sort of like just nailed it in terms of his folklore.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts and memories of him?
The dive celebration.
It was class.
At the time, it was he was such a world-class striker. I was quite shocked that we got him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was a great move.
And he links up really well with Sheringham. It was a good period, really, for us.
Probably my favourite moment of his was the Anfield FA Cup quarter-final. We won 2-1. They went 1-0 up, I believe, and then Sheringham scored a pearler, a nice little curl shot, and then I think it was like injury time or 89th minute. Klinsmann popped one in the cop to win 2-1, which was incredible, absolutely incredible, and we all went mad.
We had him for two spells.
Two spells, yeah, exactly. So he came back, and I was surprised at his pace, actually. That was one of the things that I was quite surprised at. Obviously very clinical, scored all types of goals, but I was always quite surprised at his pace.
How do you think he would stand up now?
I think he would do very well, yeah. I think defences now aren't as good as they were back in the day, and I think he would murder some of the defences in this league. Yeah, I really do. In terms of worth, I think it would be an interesting one. What do you think the sort of bracket, where would he, because it's such an inflated market now. I mean, my lord, if Richarlison is maybe going for 50 million, I mean, what are you talking about Jurgen Klinsmann going for? Because he didn't score a goal from November to last week. I mean, for £50 million.
Well, I can't remember how old he was when he came to, was it at the tail end of his career?
I think he was about 27.
Okay, so it's quite peak time there.
I'm going to check, though. I'm going to try and check.
If he was 27, I would probably say he was a 75 mil player, striker at least.
I don't know his age when he signed, but he was...
If Lukaku was 75 mil...
I mean, exactly. It's,
even if he was a bit older, I think it would be...
So how much did you say?
I'd say about 75 to 100.
75 to 100, I would agree. So Jurgen, we want you back.
So the fact that we got him for 2 million, I don't know what the going rate was back then.
Yeah, I mean, 1994...
Since, that's what... 24 years ago.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago. Mm. What were you doing in 1994? I don't want to talk about that.
I was out in some fields.
We've still got Brian here with us, our special guest of the week. Oh dear, this is worrying. I was worried about this part of the show because obviously it's quite an emotive topic. There are a lot of angry fans out there. I mean, we are in the Blue Coats pub. We're filming from Tottenham High Road now, and basically this is the pub that was bought on the basis of maybe, you know, getting some nice extra cash this season. And so far, it's not happened. And they haven't even been told anything by the club about this decision. Obviously now we're told maybe even January. So obviously a big difference to the first or second game of the season, as it was always supposedly going to be. Home game at least. So we've discussed it at length on our Spurs fans DSI group today. Some really, really interesting comments from both sides. Lots of people are very angry, but then we have lots of people that are more sympathetic with the club about it. So where do you sit in this sort of like balance and argument, Brian?
Obviously extremely angry. Not so much with the construction delay, you know. If you remember back during the pre-season, people were expecting maybe the first three games to be away from home. So when they announced it was just the one, I think everyone was quite pleased with that. However, you know, why put yourselves under pressure? Everyone would have accepted it if it was three away for the start and give them a bit more time. And looking at the way they've gone about it, communication from the club's been very, very poor. And I think that's what's got most people's back up. Not the delay in construction itself, more the way the club has put it across to the fans, you know.
I think the fact they said that they had made this decision to extend Wembley potentially last Christmas or the end of last year, I think the fact they've released that fact or said that happened, and that surely tells us that they were very wary of it extending for longer than they basically revealed to us. And I think that is the issue for me. It's, again, not the construction issue. It was an incredibly ambitious project to complete it in the period of time that they would plan to. And I think maybe too ambitious in a way, maybe even too arrogant or too cocky, you know. And we were the ones that were going to maybe bail the brunt. And I think if we look at the season tickets, we would have still bought the season tickets, but how would they have organised a season ticket with half the games at Wembley and half at the new ground? It would have been very, very difficult to do that in terms of pricing, in terms of licensing, and they avoided that fact, but now they're almost doing exactly the same thing, but they're being forced into it because they were maybe a little bit too confident. I don't know what the word is, but there's, you know.
Yeah, I mean... Sorry, go on, Brian.
No, go for it, mate.
I think maybe they got to a point where they knew they was going to have to make a decision and they were putting it off to the last minute. And that's kind of backfired a bit.
Yeah.
And especially with, like, the Fulham game, I know people haven't had their refund back yet to have even bought their Fulham ticket if they wanted to use that money
that
they've paid. So you've got that added problem as well, you know, with the... 19th of your whole season ticket price?
Yeah.
You're getting back for each ticket. Is that going to be enough to cover the Liverpool game? Is it not?
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. There's so many more complications that are springing up already.
It's been a logistical nightmare for the club. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for the ticket office and people that have to organise that, to be honest. How do you sort that out? It's a massive headache. But in hindsight, it's a great thing, lads, you know. If they'd have said to us, look, there's no way the stadium's going to be ready until December, New Year, I think even another season at Wembley would have been a better option at the pricing, you know. The, the sticking point is charging us top whack for the new stadium, promising it to us, and then going back to where we were playing much less last season. It's a lot of money, you know, for a lot of people. You know, some people can afford it, some people can't. But yeah, just the way it was linked and the club was sort of really sort of cloak and dagger about it, it leaves a bad taste in the mouth for me. But again, like with the pricing as well, you know, they've got a chance now to sort of do something about it. I know we get 1/19th back. I think, I don't know, is it £163?
No, 63, yeah.
No, I mean, Category A Liverpool last season, my seat would be £70 there. So I'm just going to have to fork out a bit more. So I think they should maybe meet us halfway now and do sort of £20, £30 adults, half price then for the kids, as a way of sort of compensation to make up for it. Who knows? Let's see what they come out in the next few days. But something needs to be done in terms of communication with the fans from the club. It's got worse in the last couple of seasons for me.
Or maybe even some package deals. I mean, if you take into account Liverpool, Cardiff, one's Category A, one's maybe a C, and then, you know, you might be able to afford it from
it would be nice. It would be nice. I can't see it myself, but it would be nice. They just seem to be pretty strict when it comes to league games. They're just like categorised and they're done. Yeah. I mean, Champions League packages were great value, but they seem to be very different when it comes to the league games. But it's very frustrating, I agree. Communication has been poor. And I think, unfortunately, the fans in football in general now are very much at the bottom of the food chain. They're not really considered. They don't really need us. They don't need the revenue anymore because they got the TV. They could. There was a thing on the BBC Sport site today that I think half the clubs in the Premier League could still actually work with a profit, and we were one of them, without having anyone in our stadiums, which is mental. Or even half full or something. I can't remember what the quote was, but it's crazy. And, you know, we're the ones that have been supporting them for 30-odd years. We're the ones that are paying the money to go and see, and also the negative effect that it might have on the players and the team having to go back to Wembley. I know we did well last season after a slow start, but it's not going to bode well for us. This uncertainty is not good.
It's going to be, you know, 25,000-30,000 for the Fulham game. You know, we'll relate to the pitch, won't it? So we'll wait and see who does turn up.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of work to be done, lads, I'll say.
So I did a poll today on our Spurs Fans DSI Facebook group with basically asking people what they thought their season predictions were, obviously after the fact that we have had our transfer window closed, which means we can't sign any more than no one, which is not possible. Most people are saying fourth. Most people are saying fourth. And then the next option down is third. So we've got some confident fans out there. That's good. That's really good.
Positive.
And then we've got a few for fifth, and then we've got a couple of people that have been smoking some of Kevin David's high grade, and they are on champions. They voted for champions, so, you know, good luck on that one. So we've still got Brian hanging around, so we can go to Brian and ask him what his prediction is for the coming season. Brian. So then final predictions for the season. I don't know, I didn't see you. We haven't actually spoken about the poll yet, but when we do, I'll check out your results. I'll check out your view, your vote. So what are you thinking for the season? How are we going to fare?
Should be interesting.
No, me,
it's the problem. He hasn't had a beer, it's all right. The rants always come after a game when he's had a few and he's like, Levy, okay.
And I think we'll do well to get in the top four this year. With purely the other team strengthening around us, with all the uproar with the stadium, it's got to have some sort of effect on the players. I know they're professionals and shouldn't, but yeah, I can see us dropping down a couple of places this year, unfortunately. But obviously, I hope not, and I hope we finish in the top four again. Maybe push for second would be a dream, but I can't see it, to be honest. It's just my heart telling me that. What about yourself, sir? What did you vote for, Noel?
I haven't made a vote yet, actually. I was gonna give it some thought live on air.
He's sitting on the fence.
I'm sitting on the fence.
Being Swiss.
I still think we will finish in the top four. And I think it will be tight. whether we can get third. I think Liverpool and Man City will be about 10, 15 points clear.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then I think it will be a big battle for third. I think Chelsea, a lot of depends on Hazard. I wouldn't class Arsenal in that bracket. No. And Man U also are not really clicking into gear for me still. So I think I don't think we're in a bad place. But obviously that's injury free. That's injury free. You know, so I think if our first, same with last season, if our first team squad stays fit, then we should be okay. But if Kane gets injured, it's goodbye Vienna. Hello Thursdays.
I voted for third. I was pretty much the same as you. I thought Man City are probably going to be the ones to catch. Liverpool look like they've upped the game, sorted out their keeper, which is probably
massive.
Lost them, what, 12 points maybe last season?
Easy.
So, yeah, I think between us and Chelsea for third and fourth, really.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, Arsenal, later.
I think they're
probably
seventh, but as I said sixth, that means they've finished seventh.
Yes, I'm going to jump up above. Yeah, I mean, you've still got sort of Everton.
Everton could be okay this season. Okay. Yeah. They've made some good signings. Got a good keeper, Richarlison looks good. Balassi's decent. The striker, Tosin, looks okay.
The thing with Arsenal, if they lose to Chelsea this weekend, they're going to be bottom of the table and there's going to be meltdown. It's going to be
They haven't bought enough quality at the back.
Yeah.
They don't get enough. Fingers crossed we're not fucking eating humble. Excuse me. Fingers crossed we're not eating humble pie come May. We're having this chat when we're all sitting there and we're having the...
Yeah, we'll just remove that from
From the archive. Amazing. Right, thanks so much for joining us, Bri. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Nice one, Bri. Good luck tonight in your tournament.
Oh, yeah, good luck in the pool tournament. And we'll hope to see you live in the flesh in the studio one day. And see you soon.
Glad to help. And
good
luck with the podcast. That's a great idea. And doing well so far. Looks good. So good luck for the future with that. And I'll see you soon.
Nice one, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Take care. So we're going to talk about lineups for Saturday. In terms of your starting 11, would it be quite different or similar to the Newcastle Selezione?
I mean, we did look kind of tired in the second half, didn't we? So kind of Kane and Dyer kind of tired, didn't they, towards the end? Ali and Vertonghen looked all right. So did Dembele start?
No, he came on.
So maybe Dembele for Dyer.
Yeah.
And again, whether we go three at the back or not, I would stick with the back four, I think.
Okay. So you would bench Toby again?
Unfortunately, yeah. Well, yeah. Unless you're going to rotate Vertonghen and Toby. But I think Vertonghen looked quite fit.
No, Vertonghen has to play for me. Yeah. But I would go back five. I'd go back five because I think it's good to incorporate Toby in the team. I think it's good for him to feel part of the team in terms of moving forward, the team as a unit. And if we are going to be playing Trippier and Rose, apparently we think they will because they were just rested or given more time for the Newcastle game, then it's a great opportunity to play a back five. And then basically you'd be losing someone from the lineup in terms of your midfielder or attacking midfielder. So you drop Sissoko.
So who have you got in midfield?
So then you've got Dembele and Eriksen.
So you bring Dembele for Dyer, so you're going to drop Eriksen deeper?
A little bit deeper. I always think with a team that is slightly lower than us or a lesser team that are going to be sitting behind the ball, we don't need two holding midfielders. We don't need a Dembele and Dyer. We don't need a Dyer and Wanyama because we're not really trying to win the ball back that much because we've already got the ball. So we actually need players that are going to utilise possession more, which is why Eriksen is better in that position. And anyway, normally when we do play that kind of formation, when we do play against teams that do sit back, we have the ball so much at the edge of the sort of like back of the beginning of the centre circle that's when the play starts, because all of the defenders are already in the box, and so we need someone who's going to come out, walk with the ball, and spot a pass, and so Eriksen can do that.
It's very rare that Poch doesn't play with two defensive midfielders.
He does if we're chasing games.
Yeah, but not starting 11s.
Not starting 11s, but that would be mine anyway, because, you know, we're defensive Poch.
You just want to fit
in. I'm not
in.
Trying to mirror Poch.
You're just trying to fit in Toby and drop Sissoko.
I think, and that's one of my gripes about Poch, is that I don't think he does go attacking enough in those situations. Yeah. There's no point having a Dier and Wanyama or a Dier and Dembele or Wanyama and Dembele when we play a back five at home against teams that sit back. There's zero point, because they're useless, because we don't have to win the ball back. And so we're then missing a player.
What about when they break?
Then we've got like five at the back. We've got three of the best defenders in the league.
They won't be at the back, will they? Because the fullbacks will be bombing forward.
We've got three of the best defenders in the league at the back who can control any break.
Okay.
Trust me.
There you have it. The new Ozzy Ardiles manager.
I didn't say crazy. What were they called again? The famous five?
Was it crazy five?
The crazy five. They weren't the crazy five.
He was the furious five, but it wasn't the first.
I think it was just the famous five.
It was something five, wasn't it?
Well, there was five of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be mine. But we want to get a Fulham fan viewpoint, so we're going to talk to a Fulham fan who's going to give us a bit of an insight into how they're approaching the game and his thoughts for the coming season. This week we've got Charlie Brown on the other end of the line here with us. So Charlie, firstly, just a bit about yourself and how you became a Fulham fan.
My dad made the right move.
What were the choices?
Choices were that left of Battersea Bridge to go to Fulham, or turn right and go to the other side, mate. And obviously, like me now, my granddad, my dad, the whole family's been Fulham for many years now. So my granddad was, my dad is, all my girls are. Started from them, really.
And what are your thoughts about making it to the Premier League?
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's going to be hard again. You know, when we was there in the first place, we done all right of ourselves, but we just never scored a lot of goals. So I think that's going to be our downfall again this year. Again, as you see from the weekend, had a good lot of play. You know, but we just struggled to put that ball in the net. Even though we got Mitrovic, we struggled for some reason in the Premiership putting in the goals.
I really like him, actually. I think he looks class. I think he's a danger. But like you said, it's giving him the chances.
He just needs to get it more and more up front. You know, we had Schürrle. We spent a lot of money this year. You know, Schürrle looked really, really good, like, with him at the weekend. But he's just not getting the chance. Just not getting that, you know, the ball up top. It's just, yeah, it will come. Obviously, they've got a gel because they only had about a couple of days, like, obviously, to play with each other. So.
I think that might benefit us come Saturday, maybe, in terms of the fact you have still got quite a few new signings looking to obviously gel together. So what are your thoughts on the game? Well, that's not hard. what are your thoughts on Tottenham as a whole, firstly?
But he's trying to be nice here. It's hard
team.
For him.
You've got good team. You know, good job, good manager. Obviously, good striker. I like the top of the team. You know, you obviously know what you want. You want. Levy obviously knows what he wants from the team. Pochettino must know what he wants from the team. To not buy anyone, or not even attempt to buy anyone. Like he, Pochettino must think he's got it all right. So, but yeah, good strong team. I think he'd be up there this year.
And what are your thoughts on the Saturday game then? What's your predictions?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? I'm going to stick my head out. Just like, you know, we only have a good memory once and we won, so. I waited all my life to get there. We're back here in a couple of months each. So I think, you know what? I'm going
to. We lost it.
We're going for 2-1 Fulham. We immediately take a shout out to him. You're shocked to look his head out there.
It's good. Confidence is good. It's good. You know, Fair play, fair play.
I think this could be it, you know. Obviously, you look well in the weekend. Newcastle look well as well. They played really well. I think there's something that we can get into. Mitrovic is on fire. Sherlock can be playing the balls. We'll get a couple of the other players to come in. We've got the new couple of the French boys coming. So I think we might gel this weekend. Hopefully.
How did Sessegnon play at the weekend?
Yeah. Ryan's alright. You know, he needs to just get that. He's not going down as much as he wants. Obviously, that's why we brought the left back. To like give him more options of going forward, which he, you know what, I think everyone's on to Ryan now, but he's still one of the best. I'm surprised you lot never come in for him really. I think we tried.
I think if he hadn't got promoted, then he would have come. Maybe just on loan, but I think he's definitely on the radar.
Yeah, that's what I thought you might have done. You might have come in, bid like 75 mil, and we took you back for a year. Money. Yeah. He's worth every penny, I'm telling you.
Really?
I'm not even lying to you, Rod. If he is worth 75 mil of anyone's money, mate.
Okay.
He is that good. I know he had a good season last year, but he is that good, mate. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on this season. His brother's good player as well. Obviously, Ryan's had that lucky break. He is really, really good, mate.
Cool.
Top stuff. Well, hopefully not that good come Saturday.
Yeah. What about you, lad? How do
you think you can do this year? We've spoken about predictions. We're both saying sort of top four, but
I've gone for third.
Nothing more than that. I think we'll be close third and fourth. I think Liverpool, Man City are going
to
be
the ones to be
clear.
But
to be honest to you guys, I think Cardiff are looking pretty poor. I think Huddersfield are quite poor. I think there's a few teams that don't have your strike power. I think Mitrovic could be the answer to get you to stay up. So I don't think you should feel despondent.
No, I'm not despondent. We just need to get... Just, you know what it is? Once we get that ball in the back of the net, I think that's it. That'll set us all in a row. But as I say, we need a bit of time to gel. They had 2 days to gel.
Yeah.
And we looked well. It was just that final... Get to the final third, which Scott's relegated, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
That's what happened 4 or 5 years ago now. So we've got the players. We've spent the money. So hope for the best, really. We're still going for the 2-1.
Mate, okay. Well, I was 2-0 and Rod's 3-0. So...
3-0, Rod.
Yeah, 3-0. Clean sheet, mate. and Kane's going to break his voodoo, mate. His August voodoo.
But I said from the penalty spot, so we'll see.
He's lethal from that. We'll see, boys.
Okay. Great to chat to you, mate. And we'll maybe even catch up with you next week and have a chat about the game, get your review.
No problem, mate. Yeah, of course, mate.
Brilliant. Great to have you on, man. Okay, enjoy the game Saturday.
Good luck for the season with the old podcast and that, yeah?
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Take care, mate. Take care, mate. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, that's it for this week. Thank you so much to Brian Hurley, our guest from the Spurs Fan DSI group. And also big thanks to Charlie Brown, Fulham fan, who was predicting a 2-1 victory for his side at Wembley this week. Just a reminder, prediction-wise, I've gone for a 2-0 and Rod's gone for
3-0.
3-0. So we will see how we fare this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. As always, if you do want to get involved, the hashtag is TTILMShow. TTILMShow. That's on Twitter, Facebook, and we have a YouTube show as well.
And Instagram as well.
So we are ready for you socially. So please do get involved. And we'd love to hear from you, Spurs fans and other fans alike. Love to get you on the show. And thanks for watching and listening. And we will see you next week.